The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Bruce Valange. Remember on Hollywood Squares, the guy to the left of Whoopi, if that's possible? I'm listening to John Orlando on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 260. I hope you're doing well out there, and I want to thank you for checking out this episode. And it is almost that time of year where the WWE presents its annual pay-per-view spectacular, the Survivor Series. And joining me on this episode are the pro wrestling pundits DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Ran to break down everything that might happen this weekend at that huge event. We're going to give our opinions and our insights and our thoughts on the matches that have been booked already for this Sunday. And, you know, it's always fun to have the pro wrestling pundits on and kind of make these predictions and see in a few weeks whether we were correct or we were incorrect on some of these picks. So it's going to be a long episode, so I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to get right into one important announcement, and that is, of course, that this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics from every single era, including the gold, silver, bronze, and modern era, but they also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, posters, a huge catalog of back issues. Basically, they got everything you need for your comic book fandom. So stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest, or you could check them out online at wgcomics.com or find them on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Ran talking about the Survivor Series. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for us to talk about the Survivor Series. I am joined by, of course, the pro wrestling pundits. DJ Joey Blaze, how you doing?
I am doing swell. If I was any better, I would be twins.
And, of course, hey. Ringside Rand. Ringside, how you doing?
Life is good here in the Golden Ghetto.
We would expect nothing less. Right, Joey?
We could chime in about how I was feeling there, Rand. Am I still on your line?
I thought so.
Well, how about this? I'm feeling good and I'm looking better. I can take a burlap sack and make it look like a cashmere sweater. How does that
sound?
Oh,
that's two. Three!
You two. All right, well, we're here to talk about the Survivor Series. Again, we are recording this on Wednesday night. The Survivor Series is this Sunday, and there is still a SmackDown yet to happen. So I'm sure that when we do the review episode, if there are any changes, we'll definitely cover them. In general, are you looking forward to Survivor Series? Ran?
I got a case of really mild worms over this one. It seems like a lot of stuff was thrown together last minute. We had a title change on Monday Night Raw, heavyweight championship title change for the first time in 5 years, so that we could have the best versus the best. It seems like it was thrown together last minute.
Joey, what do you think?
First of all, if old Rand's having a case of the worms, you might want to see a doctor about that. how do I feel? Well, is it possible I don't feel anything? Is that weird to say? Don't feel anything because just where we're at right now with everything going on in the world, and you can't have wrestling how you need to have it, and it's going to be hard to feel that way. If you think about these big pay-per-views, because Survivor Series is one of the biggest ones, right? I cheer for the WWE. you know, you don't have the live crowd there. Thunderdome's pretty cool, but it's hard. And go back, Rand said, it does seem like they don't know what they're doing because they're releasing people because they have an OnlyFans page. So, you know, I don't know. There's a little bit of everything. So I don't have any feeling. Like, I can almost, it's sad to say this, I can almost care less.
Well, you would not be alone because I really also feel like I don't really care if I see it or not see it. I mean, obviously, I'm going to watch it so that we can review it, but I feel like the build has been haphazard. It has been half-assed. It has been just thrown together, as exactly what you two have said. And again, there's no one right now on the rosters that interests me because either A, they're really good, but they're stuck in terrible storylines like AJ Styles, or they're just bland and I'm just not into it. They're like, I feel like the WWE, and I know so many journalists like to throw this out there, but I think that you got to agree with them. The WWE has to build some new stars, and they haven't done that.
Well, they had a perfect opportunity. Like, so you take AJ Styles' buddies, you fire them, but then you put them with a big guy. That makes no sense. They've done nothing. You talk about that being stuck in obscurity. So let's just take that, for example. There's no reason where he came about. Now, you had him with Abyss for a couple weeks, and that was entertaining. And you got rid of that, too. So, exactly, they just – I feel like it's somebody – like, it's a three-year-old that you give a Lego set to that's just built – putting Legos everywhere, and they're trying to say it's a fort, but it doesn't look like a fort, but you kind of agree with them because it's a three-year-old kid. That's kind of what they're doing there. They're doing the three-year-old building a Lego fort.
On top of the fact that when we run down the card, you're going to see that some of these stars are missing. There's no Miz. There's no John Morrison. Bray Wyatt's not booked yet. Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Big E, Elias, Retribution. I could go on and on. There's all these people that are supposedly your marquee stars that are not on the pay-per-view as of this recording.
And yeah, the teams don't make sense going into Survivor Series. And why didn't they include an NXT again this year? That's what made it so good last year.
Well, actually, there are reports that the reason why NXT has been excluded from this year's Survivor Series is because of a COVID outbreak at the Performance Center.
Well, that might make sense too. But that, you know, so there's a lot of things that factor in. And, you know, they make these last minute changes. Like, I feel like The names on the teams, like what I would have done, to be honest with you, is why have a champion versus champion? There is no need to have that unless you're going to unify the titles. They should have been the captains of their Survivor Series teams, in my opinion. I think that would make way more sense. It would have been cool because then that could have created, like, let's say McIntyre could have been on Randy Orton's team, but now he's a captain because he's the champion. You see, and there could have been more at stake that way. Now it's really bland. Like you said, you have Big E who's getting this, let's get the New Day, let's get rid of them, let's give him this big singles push, and he's nowhere to be seen. He should be on that team from the get-go if you're trying to put him in singles wrestling. It's just spiraling around. Now, there's been some good segments here and there. I'm kind of into the Roman Reigns thing. I think SmackDown's put on a decent show. I like Alexa with The Fiend. I think that's kind of growing on me. There's some things here and there, but the things I'm liking just doesn't go well with the pay-per-view, and it just seems like just another show.
Agreed.
Well, I do think most of the show is going to be about The Undertaker.
Well, would you like to know this little fact? The pre-show starts at 5 o'clock. So I'm like, a two-hour rant, a two-hour pre-show that you know most of it's going to be filled with recaps and not a match and not where you could take care of all of this farewell stuff for The Undertaker.
I see six matches listed for the pay-per-view.
That is correct. There are six.
There might be that many on the two-hour pre-show.
Yeah, well, and here's the other thing. Are they going to end at 9:30 if they start at 5, like they have the last couple of pay-per-views? Well, let's jump into it. Let's get into it here. Let's start off with the very first Survivor Series match. You have Team Raw, which we talked about, consisting of AJ Styles, Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and I refuse to call him Riddle. He is Matt Riddle. I don't care. It's much like the Chad Gable syndrome. I refuse to call him that ridiculously stupid single name. They're going to be taking on Team SmackDown, Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, King Corbin, Seth Rollins, and somebody to be announced on Friday. So what do you think, Rand? Which team do you think comes out on top?
I'm beginning to wonder about AJ's portable tree that stands behind him.
Yes, by the way, that gentleman's name is Jordan Omega Bahian, I think is how it's pronounced. I'm not sure. It's a very unusual last name.
They're kind of using him as comic, and they're kind of not. The fact that AJ never asked him if he spoke English or not, he's just a big guy standing behind AJ. Are they going to use him? Is he going through the training?
Or is he he's been using NXT. He's been trained. And if you remember, he was part of the whole underground. He was the bodyguard on the underground, but we had to get rid of that because of COVID too.
Have they even mentioned where AJ found him, or like what is the reason? Why is AJ with this giant guy?
I don't think they've built the story enough. That's what I'm saying. You had built-in stories that made sense already for him. You had two of them. So they go well, about this. They haven't really discussed it enough, in my opinion.
Well, Rand, who do you think, which team do you think comes out victorious?
Typically, when there's a Raw versus SmackDown match, usually Raw wins. But I see dissension on the team, so I'm going to go with SmackDown because Monday night those guys were arguing with each other.
And you know what? I agree with you, Rand. That was my pick. I think SmackDown wins because I think they're going to continue to push the stupid, you know, the Raw team is not on the same page. And Joey, maybe you can help me out. You said you've watched a little more SmackDown than I have over the last few weeks. Have the team on SmackDown been more cohesive, or are they still doing the silly, like, they don't get along as well storyline?
No, they don't get along either. Look at the people that are thrown together.
True.
They don't get along. But here's the only reason SmackDown's going to win is because SmackDown now is the number one show. Because they're on Fox, that's where the money's at. SmackDown became the number one show and no longer Raw. That's why SmackDown's going to win. But you got to call the guys from Raw by their nicknames. So instead of Riddle, it's Dopey. You got Fireface. I thought that was hilarious when Matt Riddle said that stuff. That was, you know, that was entertaining. I just don't like the dynamic of the people they have on the teams and then the directions they could go. Because obviously the team on Raw just set up a couple feuds and that's it. So, yeah, Team SmackDown, I agree. But I think mostly because they're booking it that way because that's the number one show now in Vince's head.
I totally agree.
These are glorified tag team matches, and even the best versus the best, the other four matches, are all non-title.
And you know what? I'm going to go back for a minute to what you said, Joey. I know you said that you want champion versus champion, and you want titles to be unified. I would like, because it's something different, do champion versus champion, the belts are on the line, and let somebody win two titles. And then they have to drop one the following night on Raw or something along those lines. It would be a hell of a lot better than just trading off belts.
Or you have a reason for a tournament.
There you go. I would go with that as well, Ran. I mean, right now, that Pure Wrestling tournament is pretty darn entertaining on Ring of Honor TV. All right, let's move on then and talk about the next Survivor Series match, 5-on-5 elimination match. We have Team Raw consisting of Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Lana, Lacey Evans, and Peyton Royce. Taking on Team SmackDown of Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and two members to be announced on Friday. So, Joey, I'm going to throw it over to you first. Who do you think is coming out on top in this matchup?
Well, I don't think any of us are coming out of top because it's going to be a train wreck. But as far as winning, it's going to be Team Raw because of Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. They're going to be the lone survivors, I think, because they're going to build them. I think they're going to keep them together for a team to at least Rumble or Mania. So that's where that's going with that. And that's another thing. Like, I don't understand. They keep swapping females in and out, doing this and doing that. And I just don't understand the direction for that either. Like, what's these survivors, this one in general, like I was kind of, you know, nostalgic for a while, but I like when you see stuff like this, I want them to bring back the old style where you had the Mega Maniacs versus this, or put guys together and give them fun. Like, this is just not fun. Like, there's nothing between, like, while I have no idea, even for comic relief, Lana doesn't make sense in that position. But the reason Team Raw is going to win is because of Nia and Baszler.
All right, Rand, what do you think?
Absolutely no star power in this match at all. These are B and C players on the women's side. And I agree with DJ Joey that the only established wrestlers, for the lack of a better word, are Nia and Baszler.
Lacey Evans and Peyton Royce were placed on the Raw side because Mandy Rose is injured. And that didn't make sense to take Dana Brooke off. Like, I understand they're a team, but you look on the men's side, you just have Jey Uso. You don't have Jimmy. So, like, I didn't think that made sense. Like, you know, injuries happen. Understandable. Mandy Rose has to sit out. But I didn't get why, well, let's replace two of them instead of just one. I think that that was a boneheaded move. I'm going to go the opposite way. I think Team SmackDown wins because I think that, Joey, I'm going to disagree with you. I think Nia and Baszler have a blow-up that costs them the match. And then that leads us into December's pay-per-view of those two starting a feud. That's my thought.
Well, here's the other thing I'm thinking about here, too. This is another one that would make sense where you would use the women's main champions as captains.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you could take, and that way it adds the star power. So we've already seen Sasha and Asuka. You know, it's cool, but we don't need to see it again. Now, if we could have had them captain and put this stuff together, and because then that could have, Sasha maybe could have been forced to have Bayley on her team, and then there could have been that. Like, they could have done more things with that to make it more entertaining. Because, oh my God, now, you know, Bayley won a match, and so they have their risk, you know, during this too, and there's some different things you could do with that, or you could do something there's a few different more angles you could have played by doing that. And that's why it falls flat to me. And Rand just says B or C players, you hate to say that because honestly, they're all A players because they're wrestling for the WWE and you don't want to disregard, you know, what they're doing, but that's what it comes down to. And I think that would have been a better move for the WWE.
Well, I mean, and let's be honest, too. They booked Lana as a complete joke, like absolute complete joke. There is zero believability with that character. And I know we make fun about wrestling logic, but my God, how many times are you going to get put through a table? I mean, laughable.
That's another reason why Team Raw might win. She might be the lone survivor and get the last laugh and all this.
Oh my God, that would be terrible booking, but I wouldn't surprise me, I guess, if that indeed happened.
She falls on the person and their team wins and she's a lone survivor. I could see that big time happening.
All right, so we got Raw, and I picked SmackDown. Rand, you were going to say something?
I agree that there's a chance that she goes to the table for the 10th time by her own teammate and is not eliminated, and yet everybody else somehow is, and she crawls into the ring for the win.
Yes,
it would
ridiculous.
Be stupid, but let's not put anything past them.
That's right. So this, our next match that I have listed is pretty much a throwaway match, if you ask me. We have Bobby Lashley, the United States champion, taking on Sami Zayn, the Intercontinental champion. I'm just going to throw it out there. I picked Bobby Lashley to win because I just feel like the Hurt Business has way too much momentum. They are one of the few bright spots. I know in previous conversations on this podcast, I have maybe not really supported the Hurt Business, but I'll tell you right now, they're one of the bright spots on Raw. And that might tell you just how bad things are on Raw. But I digress. Rand, what do you think?
I agree. I think MVP has been an incredibly pleasant surprise when he came back. I think he's done a lot for the business, and it's really helped him out. I like that stable. So I'm thinking Bobby Lashley wins.
Joey, what do you think?
Not so fast, my friend.
So I
think this is going to be match of the night. And you can say whatever, you can do whatever. I know it seems like it's a throwaway. But Sami Zayn's... He's great on the mic. He's hilarious. He pisses people off. I'm enjoying him. Okay, I enjoy what he's doing. I think it's gonna be a match tonight. He's going to win by count out or some sort of crazy shenanigans, but he's gonna get the shit beat out of him afterward. See, that's another thing. So you finally have a group together like that, like the Hurt Business. Why aren't they a team against another foursome at Survivor Series? That would make more sense.
Well, because we already
retribution.
I was just gonna say, Rand, we already did that. We did that a couple of weeks ago on Raw because it's retribution against the Hurt Business. Which again, listen, retribution's terrible. but you could have built them as that should have been a match that you should have built to. And yes, then you could have had Retribution versus the Hurt Business. That would have been awesome. But instead, we give it away on Raw. And let's be honest, Retribution is done.
It was done once they showed who was part of it.
All right, our next match is, of course, the champion versus champion tag team match, where we have the New Day, Kofi and Xavier, taking on the Street Profits, Angelo and Montez. Joey, who do you think comes out on top in this matchup?
Well, I'll be honest, if I was looking forward to a match, I think this has it has some legs to it. I mean, they've been kind of building it decently and kind of making fun of how they're kind of the same thing too, which has been pretty funny. I think you've got to build, to keep building the credibility for Tez and Dawkins. I think they get the nod here just because you want to, they're on SmackDown, so it builds a SmackDown credibility, but it builds theirs too. So I think that's who wins the Street Profits.
Rand, what do you think?
I think this could be the most interesting verbal face-off in tag teams for years. Both these teams are really good. They're a lot of fun to listen to. But once the match gets started, I think all four guys are really good. I think, like DJ said, that the Street Profits win.
I agree with you guys because, Joey, I feel the same way. I feel like this is the new tag team. You got to keep getting them over, and you have to put the Street Profits over, I feel. I think that is the writing's on the wall. That is mandatory. I got to be honest, though. I don't like the New Day without Big E. Am I the only one?
I mean, I've never been a super huge fan of them, but I hate that the way that they did it. It's kind of goofy for sure.
Yeah. I'm just not a fan. Rand, what about you? Do you have an opinion one way or the other about the New Day minus Big E?
Well, yeah, I think they're obviously weaker. I think he's part of the fun.
Yeah. All right, before we move on to our next matchup, real quickly, gentlemen, if you will give me a moment, I need to let folks know about a great sponsor of the PVDcast. That, of course, is World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics from just about every single era, but they also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, back issues, posters. Basically, they got it all for you, man. And if you are afraid that you might miss your favorite comic, then all you got to do is sign up for their pool system. And every time that book comes in and it goes on the rack, they'll hold one for you so you can swing on by, pick it up, and never miss a single issue of your favorite comics. So, as I mentioned before, you should stop on over to the store and check them out. They are located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're not in Central Ohio, you can still find them online. WGComics.com is their website, or they're even on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. All right, with that out of the way, gentlemen, let's move on to the champion versus champion women's match. Asuka, the Raw Women's Champion, taking on Sasha Banks, the SmackDown Women's Champion. Rand, let's start with you. Who do you think comes out on top in this one?
I kind of think Sasha and Bayley aren't done yet. I think somehow there might be some interference. So I'm going to go with the Raw Women's Champ, Asuka.
Okay, Joey, what do you think?
I'm going to go right here. I'm going to go with Sasha, or like our good friend Rand just called her Sasha. Sasha. Sasha Banks from Biston. She is from Biston, you know. So I'm taking her. Here's why. How many damn times does she have to lose to Asuka?
True.
Like, there's a lot. She's got a lot of L's to her. So I think Sasha wins. I think Bayley tries to interfere. And I think it backfires on Bayley. So I'm down with the Bayley interference, but I think it's somehow if she gets involved, I think it's going to backfire. It's actually going to help Miss Banks.
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb. This is my weird prediction. All right, I know I seem to have one for every time we do one of these, but this is my off the wall one. I think Sasha Banks wins. Here's how she wins. Somehow the ref gets knocked down, and then there's a double knockdown with Asuka and Sasha. Mia Yim comes out and attacks Asuka. That allows Sasha to unbeknownst get the victory And that sets up Mia Yim and her character, whatever her character's name is in Retribution. That sets her up to do something with Asuka, because I think that that would be something that would be refreshing, something different, since obviously Mia Yim has attacked Dana Brooke and has that, you know, has already kind of intervened on the women's division on the Raw side. I think that's how it goes down, though I'm probably off base, but that's my prediction.
So you're saying Reckoning is going to interfere and we're not going to see Bayley. What if we see both?
Oh, okay. Reckoning, is that the name that Mia Yim's going by?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. You know what? I say Reckoning interferes. And yeah, let's throw in some Bayley too. Why not?
All right. Well, let's do that. I don't know what I was going to say. I was going to say something like Misty Blue Sims is going to run in, but I don't know. Whatever.
I think about only 32% of my audience knows who Misty Blue Sims is, but I was hoping you were going to say, and then out of nowhere, Alundra Blaze shows up in her monster truck and runs over Reckoning. I was hoping that's what you were going to say.
Maybe she takes the titles and throws them both in the trash can.
Throws them in a dumpster that then Retribution blows up. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's move on to the next match, which is a champion versus champion non-title match. Drew McIntyre taking on Roman Reigns. I am going to go first and say that I believe Drew McIntyre wins. He's got to keep that momentum. I think Orton comes out to try to interfere and messes up somehow, which allows Drew to get the victory over Roman Reigns. Rand, what are your thoughts?
I think after Drew was given the sword and the special ring attire Monday night, that he's going to have the title for a while, that they rebranded him and gave him a lot of momentum with that.
So you're picking Drew?
Yes.
Okay. DJ Joey Blaze, what do you think?
I think that Drew's going to use that sword and he's going to call in the rest of the Thundercats. And Panthro is going to cause him to lose the match. Roman's winning. If you talk about keeping a character's momentum, and it's going to be some sort of screw job because A, it's SmackDown. Okay, so you're going to keep the Universal Champion's the number one title now. So you're going to keep him there. It's not going to be clean. There's going to be interference, definitely in this one. Like, that's not just like a thought. It's not just a prediction. How does Paul Heyman say it?
That's a spoiler.
Exactly. And that's what's going to happen here. There's going to be all kinds of interference, and Roman Reigns is going to win. How it's going to happen, I don't know. They're not going to pin McIntyre because he's got momentum, but they're not going to take the momentum away from Reigns either. That's why I think it's dumb to have this match, and they should have done it as a Survivor Series.
Well, I'll play devil's advocate. I think one of the other options they could have done is they should have kept the belt on Orton and then had Orton and Reigns do this champion versus champion. And, you know, I think we talked at Survivor Series when we did the preview for it. Joey, you had mentioned that you thought that Orton would get a win the match and then have kind of a lengthy run getting us over to WrestleMania and having Orton and Drew McIntyre as a rematch, correct?
You mean at SummerSlam?
Yes, SummerSlam. What did I say?
You said Survivor Series, which is what we're talking about tonight. Yeah, I thought, you know, that they would do something like that. But I think if it was Orton, I think you put Roman over clean. All you do is you changed out the guys, you changed the ending, and SmackDown was winning either way.
Oh, yeah, right, sure.
That way they could plant the seed, and maybe that could be a feud that happens at Mania, that they can carry McIntyre versus Reigns and kind of tease about it and talk about it, since there wasn't a clear winner, it was a schmoz, and then they could take that, and that's a great Mania match if The Rock doesn't take on Roman at Mania.
Okay, the last thing that we kind of alluded to at the beginning of our conversation is, of course, The Undertaker's final farewell. 30 years he has been heralded, and they're bringing back some of his favorite, some of his opponents and rivals and whatnot. Kurt Angle, Kane, the Godwins, the Godfather, Savio Vega. I don't know. I think I might be missing one or two. But what do you guys think about Taker's final farewell?
I think if anybody deserves it, it's him. I think it's one of the few characters that's lasted over 15 years, even though he's had variations like the biker and so forth. How often do you see somebody actually win their last match, which would have been WrestleMania against AJ? Almost nobody goes out of the business without being on their back. I think it's typically the way you go out. I think there's going to be maybe half hour to 45 minutes of the best of The Undertaker. And I think he's the one person who deserves it.
Joey, what do you think?
Well,
it was...
Okay, I won't keep going. That's long. I think they're going to announce him going in the Hall of Fame at Mania. I think they're going to announce he's going to have one last match at Mania. I think this is his goodbye, but I don't think that it's his all the way goodbye. It's going to be pretty neat to walk down memory lane. I've never been a big Taker fan, but I appreciate all the stuff that's been going on, all the, you know, added stuff, all the specials, like, woo, yeah, the Paul Bearer stuff. Like, that was a pretty cool documentary. My girlfriend and I, Bridget, we sat down, we actually watched the Kane and Undertaker exchange, and she actually enjoyed that. So it's pretty cool. He deserves that, but I know he came in a Survivor Series, but he's Mr. Mania next to Shawn, and I think they should have kept this for Mania first.
Well, I think this is – I agree with you, Joey. I think that this is going to be a fun walk down memory lane. It's the nostalgia factor is very high on this. I don't know if we need to see another Undertaker match. That's a great theory about him going into the Hall of Fame because obviously he's going in. That's a no-brainer. Is he going in next year? Probably. I would think that would be make the most sense. I hope that, Rand, I hope you're right. I hope it's 30 to 45 minutes and it's not drawn out to some ridiculous length that is going to bore the audience and lose the audience. I hope they keep it short and sweet and to the point. They let folks, you know, if they have these folks like Kurt Angle or the Godfather there, let them speak a few minutes about the character. But overall, it is a nice tip of the hat. We don't see it too often, but, you know, I'm going to just leave it. I'm just going to end my comments with this that I read online where somebody said, Undertaker's had more final farewells than Terry Funk's had retirements.
That's funny.
Yes. Yes, it was very witty. I don't know who said it. I just read it on some YouTube channel's page, and I thought that was quite funny. All right, last little bit of news before we wrap things up. Let's talk about it. You alluded to it a little bit early at the beginning, Joey, but what are your guys' take on this idea of unionization of WWE talent? Obviously, this has been a hot button topic since Zelina Vega got released over the weekend, if I remember correctly, for her wanting to go and do other things such as like have a Twitch channel, have YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. What do you two think about this whole situation?
Who would you like to go first?
Joey, why don't you give us your thoughts first?
Okay, well, my thoughts, you know, what's crazy is this has been a big issue for a while, and I know it's a hot issue topic right now, but Rand and I both got to attend an autograph signing together, and I had to bounce because it took forever, and it was the one that's been pushing for this for a long time, and I think he's smiling down from up above if it gets to happen. That's Roddy Piper. He was always a huge advocate for that, and I'd heard some people we were waiting in line talk to him about it, and I know he pushed for it. And I think it's something that needs to happen, but it should have happened a long time ago. I think it's kind of asinine that they're not direct employees of the WWE, so why can't they go out and do little things to make that side money? Like Big E, that was a huge part of his income. He was hustling, doing when he was doing the cameo stuff. And then with Zelina, like her gaming stuff, that was big to her. You know, and if they want to be able to do that, that's fine. We're not in the era of kayfabe anymore. People know that these people are putting on an act, and they're actors or actresses, and they have a life outside too, which we learned with Zack Ryder. So I think the WWE is kind of greedy, and I think that a union needs to happen of some sort. And I'm not talking the union that faded really quick with Big Show and Ken Shamrock. I'm talking the actual union. I'm firmly behind that belief.
Okay. Rand, what do you think?
I think in the NWO WCW days, Kevin Nash said, how can I be fined for being late when I'm a subcontractor. I think he pointed out the how uneven that was. I think they want to limit the side stuff because it ruins the business, that somehow maybe storylines are given away or it would somehow affect the business. I think that's what they're trying to control more than the people themselves.
Well, and I think, first of all, one of the things that has been pointed out is that the WWE has stated that Twitch is a direct competitor of them. Twitch is not a direct competitor. They are not even in the same ballpark. Granted that maybe the WWE would have the right to say, hey, listen, Thea, you can't be using the name Zelina Vega because we own that. So, you got to go by your actual name, or some other variation or whatnot. I can see that. But I feel like they're just trying to squash this and just, you can't do anything outside because you are an independent contractor, which is bogus because if you look at any type of labor law, if you're an independent contractor, then you are not tied to that particular company, meaning that, you can go and have a side job. And here's just one small little fact I heard on another podcast. She's not making a lot of money with the WWE. Because Zelina was on one of those house show type of deals, where you made more money by doing house shows. And well, as we all know, 9 months ago, the house show market dried up. So, she was making more money on Twitch than she was with her WWE contract.
These are crazy times.
I thought about it too by, going to an outlet that wasn't part of the list, but all of a sudden it became part of the list once it known what she was doing.
Oh, yeah. She tried to circumvent the list and just go do an OnlyFans rather than Twitch and that. And then she got in trouble for that, too, which I think from what I read, that was the catalyst for the firing. It was kind of like, oh, okay, you can't follow it. We've told you not to do this and you're doing it anyways. Bottom line is she sits out 90 days. She can Twitch all she wants for those 90 days. And then once those 90 days are up, she can go wherever. She can write her own ticket. She can go to Impact. She could go to AEW, she could go to MLW and still have her Twitch channel because they aren't going to care, any of those other companies, right?
No, I totally agree, and they're going to be dumb not to take her. I think it's horrible to release her when she's such a talent that was finally starting to come into her own.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
Did you her better as a wrestler or a manager?
I loved her as a wrestler.
Personally, I liked her better as a manager. I think she had a great – presence as a manager. I mean, she was not bad in the ring. I don't discount that. She was solid in the ring, but I liked her better as a manager.
I think she was tag team champion TNA at one point.
She was, actually. She was. Rand, do you have any random facts before we start wrapping things up?
Survivor Series is not only the birthplace of The Undertaker, it's also the birthplace of the Gobbledygooker.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it! All right. Carry on.
That's it.
Oh, that's okay.
So, Rand, who was the Gobbledygooker?
Wasn't it Hector Garza? Hector Guerrero?
Hector Guerrero, yeah, good one.
Wasn't that in Albany, New York?
I believe so. Also, too, Joey, don't forget that Hector Guerrero also had another sweet secret identity, that, of course, being Lasertron.
Very creative. Very creative.
All right, with that, guys, let's plug some social media where folks can get in touch with you if they would like to. DJ Joy Blaze, let's start with you.
Well, I don't have any random facts. I just want to say a couple quick things if I can.
Sure.
First of all, I want to say thank you for having us on a podcast that has featured one of the greatest men in comedy and Hollywood Squares fame, Bruce Valanche. John, you are my hero for getting a chance to interview Bruce Valanche. So I have to put that out in the universe. Also, number two, I haven't paid attention lately, and I do apologize, but I don't know if you've made any talk or conversations or if you brought it up about the passing of Tracy Smothers. I know a lot of people didn't like his gimmick at times, a lot of the cancel society and this, that, and the other, but one of my favorite tag teams in WCW was the Southern Boys. I don't know why, it's just something that caught my eyes, and I really enjoyed their feud with the Freebirds and their reign as U.S. Tag Team Champions, which was always cool to see a secondary tag team title. I was such a mark for that as a younger wrestling fan. Tracy did a lot. I loved him as the FBI and ECW, but he did a lot for the wrestling community and younger wrestlers coming up. I've never seen
for somebody that wasn't like Randy's A, B, C players earlier, somebody that truly wasn't A player, but so many rest in peace and so many good words said about somebody that's passed away. And it's just sad to see Tracy leave this earth, but I'm glad to see that he's no longer in pain. So rest in peace, Tracy Smothers. I just wanted to say that really quick.
No, you know what? It's a good thing. I'm going to interrupt for a minute. It's a good thing you mentioned that. I had not covered that in an episode. And I will say that one of the things that I actually did not get a chance to work with him, but I got to actually run his merchandise table at Old Wrestling a couple of years ago when he was brought in as a special attraction to, quote, wrestle the bear, end quote. I had just gone up to watch the show. I thought I was just going to sit in the stands, but actually another wrestler had said, do you mind watching my merch table? And I'm like, no, I'd be happy to. And Tracy happened to be right next to him. And he says, would you mind watching mine? And I'm like, no. And he told me what everything cost. And we actually chatted a little bit. I was like, so can I just ask a couple of questions, you know? And very pleasant man, very, very pleasant. Such a nice guy. And it is sad that he passed on. But again, you know, I agree with you, Joey, that clearly he may not have been like a household name, but he certainly was a solid worker. I'm working my way through a Continental DVD set that I purchased, and you see a little bit of Tracy Smothers, and you see a young Tracy Smothers who still, even when he was, you know, that young, he still had it. He still could go. So I agree. Rest in peace. And with that, Joey, you were going to tell everybody where they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, I'm not hard to find on the internet there on the old Twitterverse at DJ Joey Blaze, DJ Joey Blaze, DJ Joey Blaze. Same on Instagram. If you like to follow somebody that just likes to put his mind out there and talk about random stuff and maybe show pictures of a new puppy, check me out.
All right, Rand, do you have any social media to plug?
The Twitter under my name of Rand Dittmar, and the still never disclosed, highly private and yet growing YouTube channel where I tell stories.
Okay, eventually. So I get it. Rand's going to be like Silent Bob. Like, he's not going to tell us about this YouTube channel until the right moment, and then he's going to spring it on us, and we will probably have our minds blown, Joey.
You know what? I love getting blown, so I look forward to that.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, my mind, sorry. That sounded terrible.
All right. With that being said, then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Had a good time. Thank you very much.
All right. And we'll recap here in a few weeks and see if our predictions are correct. And at this time, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Pro Wrestling Pundits and yours truly talking about the Survivor Series. And we'll have to see this weekend if any of our predictions come true. And so therefore, I should let you know where you can get in touch with me if you'd like to express an opinion on some of the predictions we have made. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message on the Facebook and Instagram pages of this podcast. Just search for at PVDcast. And you can even shoot me an email. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. And please let everybody know that they can get this podcast a variety of places. And of course, the easiest way to get your hands on this podcast is just go over to pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's available through all of those major podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, etc., etc. Just open up your favorite podcasting platform. In the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, PVDcast John Orlando, and you're sure to find it. And do me a favor, after you've listened to an episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribing helps you out so you never miss another episode of the PVDcast. And don't forget, every Monday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, yours truly presents a live broadcast of this week's episode through the Facebook page of the PVDcast. It's always a lot of fun. So every Monday, you should be logging in. I sometimes interact with folks as they ask questions or make comments about the particular episode. And it's a blast. So 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every single Monday. Stop on over, sit down and listen and hang out. It's a great time. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for listening. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. And as always, stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Has been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.